Is your business set up to spot trouble before it happens? According to the Harvard Business Review, most major revenue stumbles could have been avoided, but no one saw the early warning signs. That's why you need visibility into what's really happening with your business. Has your company outgrown QuickBooks? Are shared spreadsheets, manual processes, and legacy systems costing you time and money? Now is the time to move your business to the cloud. Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. With NetSuite, you can save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desk or even your phone. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite to manage their business. Now it's available to you. The power of the world's most popular cloud management system is more affordable than you think. Right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. Don't miss out on unleashing your business's full potential with this free guide, Crushing the Top 5 Barriers to Growth. You'll learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into your cash flow. So get NetSuite's guide, Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth, when you go to netsuite.com/FFB now. Download their free Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth guide today at netsuite.com/FFB. That's netsuite.com/FFB. Actually, wow. Yours wouldn't have a name. It'd be like Box Burger. It would be just the turkey leg on the back.
Leg, yes.
Love that.
That is a great one, yes. Yeah.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, August 27, 2018, the last Monday of August. Last mock draft money for football and for baseball. It's winding down quickly. I'm EK. He is Turkey Leg. At least that's what it says on the backs of our jerseys after Players Weekend. We call it Podcast Host Weekend, Tristan. I hope you're okay with that.
Awesome.
Turkey like leg.
Yep.
Nice.
And I'll put a name on the back of that uniform because it's not, you know, like a pinstripe.
Actually,
one.
Yours wouldn't have a name. It'd be like Box Burger. It would be just the turkey leg on the
just
back.
Leg, yes.
Love that.
That is a great one, yes.
I love
I've really gotten
weekend.
Into this. I remember I was wary of it just because of the whole history of the Yankees with no names on the back. I'm warm to it. It was fun.
It was fun. I loved it. The Box Burger thing was cool. Totally was trying to blow the save, but I like that. And then like on the Phillies and the Blue Jays, it was nice.
That was a fun series, huh?
Not really. not really. I think on the back of Leo's, it would say editorial watchdog. That could fit.
Oh,
right?
Leo's my good friend today. Yes. You root for the right team.
What? What are you talking about?
For my 0.2% playoff odds, but still going to try and mess up other teams' playoff odds.
Yep.
Favorite team.
Yeah, they're having a heck of a year. Credit to them. The Rays are having a heck of a year.
They really are. If they were in the NL, they'd be like the best team in the NL.
Oh, man, yeah.
What would it say on producer Anthony Calatayud's back? Sharpshooter? The guy can hit an outside shot. I watched him play basketball a couple
of
years.
I've heard this. Yes, yes.
I mean, it was basically him and one other guy that scored like all like 60 of the 65 points as they won the intramural title at ESPN.
I'll take Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter? Lippy's on the team. He just rebounded a lot. Missed a couple shots. But, you know, that's for the football show. And in absentia because of football, Kyle Soppy. What would his back say? The kid?
Let's see. We'll have to think about that one.
You can't
come up with your own nickname here. Yeah.
I'm 12. I don't know.
What is Star Wars?
Never heard of it. That would be it. Never heard of it.
Star Wars.
All right. Well, there's lots of stuff that you have heard of that we need to deal with on today's show. We have injuries. We have home runs. We have hash browns. So here is the buzz. I suppose we have to start with Kendrys Morales because he has homered in 7 consecutive games, and he goes for 8 tonight against a pitcher who's really not very good, David Hess of the Orioles. He's 4-for-6 off him already with a home run.
During the streak he homered off of him.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah.
You know, the Kendrys Morales story is kind of interesting. He's the most added player in ESPN fantasy leagues, and should be. I mean, he's hit a lot of home runs recently. He's hit he entered August with 12 home runs, and now he has 21. He's hitting over 300 in that time with a lot better plate discipline. And I wanted to figure out how. He's 35 years old. Like, what's changed here? He ditched his glasses after 6 weeks. And the joke around the Jays clubhouse is that, well, now he can't see as well, but he just hits the he sees 3 baseballs coming at him. He hits the one in the middle. That's like when I, like, play softball. Like, if I were to take my glasses off.
I love it.
He's just more comfortable. He's hitting more fly balls. I mean, it's as simple as that, you know? Like, this isn't like a Tommy Pham thing where he actually upgraded, you know, his eyes. This is a guy downgrading his eyes and now hitting better. Although most of the home runs have come in the past week or so. And he's seen a lot of bad right-handed pitching. He's only good now from the right, from the left-handed side of the plate.
Ooh, you know what that brings up?
What does that bring up?
Some trivia.
Oh, you have trivia? Do we still have that sound? Or they, we sell that off to the
trivia, trivia that Eric won't know. Yeah, I was waiting to see which drop that was going to be. So if it's one you don't know, I'm going with this one.
All right, what do you got?
Two ways I could do this. All right, so he's a switch hitter, if you haven't heard.
I am aware, yes.
Yes, and he now has the record for consecutive games with a home run by a switch hitter.
I've heard that too, yeah, because Griffey, Dale Long, and Mattingly were all lefties.
That's right. There are a few other guys who had seven home runs. I could give you the question about who has the record for right-handed home runs, but instead I'm going to ask you, because you probably know that, whose record did he break among switch hitters?
For consecutive home runs?
Consecutive games with a home run. Whose switch hitting record? Somebody had six home runs. Six games in a row with a home run.
Chipper. Mattingly. I mean, not Mattingly. Mantle. Eddie Murray.
The giveaway hint is that this is how he set the franchise record.
Oh, Jose Cruz Jr.
Cruz Jr.
Because I was watching the
yes
this weekend.
You probably would have known who's the only righty to do it in seven straight games because he's the last one to have a streak this long.
It's Delaware's finest, Kevin Mensch.
Very well done. He
big
is
Eagles
sharp.
Fan.
You're the sharpshooter today.
All right. Well, let's talk about Kendrys Morales. I mean, you should add him. Right? I mean, if you have room, I mean, you're not dropping a great player. You're not dropping somebody who's really helping you. But if you've got bench room and you can activate him this week, now people are going to say, oh, Eric, they're at Miami this weekend. He's playing first base. And Justin Smoke is batting 160 over the past fortnight. So I think Morales plays probably two of the three games. Like, I thought of it this way. I didn't sit Nelson Cruz in my weekly league this week knowing that he wasn't going to play every day. They had a series at Arizona. He did play one of the three games in the outfield. Well, if Morales plays even one of the three games at Miami, and he probably starts two of them, I think he's worth playing this week. The way Smoke's hitting and Miami's pitching is just dreadful. Now, they might throw a lefty at him. That'd be a problem.
Lefty. Yep.
So maybe he sits in the lefty game against Chen. Smoke's a switch hitter, too. But anyway, I think Morales is a pretty good pickup while he's hot, you know, and made some changes. I like it.
Yeah, so to credit what he's done here, in addition to what you had mentioned about the specifics there, the walk rate is a career high. As a matter of fact, it's the highest in his pro career. The chase rate, swings at non-strikes, is the lowest he's had in a full qualified major league season. So, yes, there are definite gains being made here, and I'm with you. I would start him, too, despite the fact that there is that three-game series in Miami without the DH. I think he is going to be a pinch hitter for at least one of those games, but you can't sit a guy who's playing this hot and the matchups are favorable enough right now. So, yeah, I'd go for it.
You know, I also watched Billy McKinney this weekend hit a couple home runs, opposite field jobs, leadoff hitter against righties now. You know, his minor league numbers aren't that good, and he's been well-traveled since he was a first-round pick. He was in the Addison Russell trade. He was in the Gleyber Torres trade, Aroldis.
For Gleyber, yep.
He was in the trade this a month ago for Jay Happ. McKinney doesn't look like he looks like a guy who comes up to the majors, hits for a week or two, and then, you know, goes back to obscurity. You know.
And more useful in the leagues that are going to reward you for the walks. I mean, the strength that he has is that he's patient.
And then Josh Donaldson's going on a rehab assignment tomorrow, which makes no sense. They're out
of it.
It's
like the eighth one he's done this year, isn't it? I feel like every day he's going on a new rehab assignment.
If you had one roster spot right now, would you add Kendrys Morales or Josh Donaldson?
Well, I want the stats right now, so it's Morales.
Okay. In a week, you think we're going to change your mind?
We might. I'm not convinced we will. I'm that pessimistic on Josh Donaldson at this point. I mean, it's been such a lengthy absence.
He hasn't played since May.
Yep.
How ridiculous is this, right?
Yeah.
All right. What else happened this weekend? Mike Trout returned, and he's awesome.
Yes.
I guess we don't really have much to say about Mike Trout. Let me play him.
Well, I mean, is he... Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about Mike Trout, do we put him back at number one for the rest of the year?
Probably. What do your rankings say? Mookie? Who do you have? Jose Ramirez?
I had Mookie first in the line. I've been bouncing back and forth. As a matter of fact, Jose Ramirez did have a turn in there.
They're rostered in every league. I mean, is your top five change? What's your top five for next year? Is it Trout, Betts, Jose Ramirez, and then stuff? Like, is that the top tier?
Probably, yes. And then the next tier is going to have guys like Lindor, maybe Trey Turner gets back up there. Manny Machado probably makes a case. JD Martinez probably makes a case.
I was going to write, I was going to do a blog that no one reads about my top 10 starting pitchers for next season. I changed it up on Friday to Matt Holliday because I thought people would rather read that, frankly. And, you know, they love Matt Holliday. And I didn't have Kershaw in my top 10. I mean, I kind of...
Starting pitchers?
Well, he was in the border.
Wow.
Well, look, he misses a lot of playing time. I mean, the problem is finding 10 others. I can make the case Kershaw's not worth that.
Sure.
I don't know if I want to. Because, like, you got Scherzer, DeGrom, and Nola. You got Sale, Kluber, Syndergaard maybe, although he's got injury issues,
yeah,
too.
Why is Syndergaard?
No, you're right. I mean, yeah. Like, I'm trying to find guys to put ahead of him. Severino. Is Severino ahead of Kershaw? Wouldn't you say? Although, you know, he hasn't exactly been great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of improvement over the past couple of starts, but he's not fully back there yet.
I just think, you know, Why would you take Blake Snell?
Yeah, that's
why would you take Kershaw over Blake Snell next season? Like, I understand, and I'm sure people in the industry are going to call me names, but we know Kershaw's missing time every year now. Blake Snell is pitching great. Justin Verlander, why wouldn't he be in that top 10 over Kershaw now? He should be.
Aaron Nola.
What about Bauer?
Him?
I said Nola.
The
three NL Cy Young guys, and then it's AL guys.
Yeah.
You know, Blake Snell could win the AL Cy Young if Sale doesn't come back soon.
Yeah. That actually would be the direction in which I would go. Blake Snell getting up to the 16th win. I mean, if you look at the ratios, they're amazing.
I'm just saying you can make the case here that Kershaw's not top 10. He's going to end up in my top 10 because I couldn't name 10. But that's pretty close.
Yeah, it is. I don't think you're going to get as much criticism as you think you do. I do recall cases being made that we need to temper the enthusiasm on Clayton Kershaw coming into this year, and he went on the DL again, missed some time. The issue with Kershaw is that using valuation calculations, so like the player rater, for example, 20th among starting pitchers for the year, but because he's performed as he has, and he has another... you know, 5 weeks to get stats in there, he might end up where he is at the end of each of the past few years. So he might end up seventh or eighth among starting pitchers, and then everybody's going to snap back to that whole Clayton Kershaw's the number one guy in fantasy. I like the debate on him. I'm with you. I see your point.
The player rate does not tell the story on Kershaw or any of the base dealers.
It does tell true value earned.
If you're rostering Billy Hamilton, Tristan, the cost opportunity of what you're missing out on is huge, okay? Billy Hamilton, D. Gordon, guys like that are one category guys. They do great on the player radar but I don't need to win stolen bases by 30. I need to win it by one. So I don't want guys like that. Now, Kershaw's different. He's a four-category starting pitcher. But the problem with him is the missed time. And I don't feel so safe anymore just adding somebody else. So I used to feel that way. I don't anymore. So
I see what you're saying with that, but I couldn't disagree with you more on the player rater thing here. The player rater measures value. That's earned. That's indisputable. There's no denying that that is what he earned.
The player rater does not do that with the stolen base guys.
It does. It absolutely measures exactly what the player's worth was in a traditional fantasy league. That's by definition, that's what it does. However, to your point here, what it's not telling you is that there were gaps around this value this player provided that you can fill in, and therefore you can maximize that value. So you're talking about the stolen base players there. If a guy like this is measured as returning this much value to you, that's something you could spin off and trade to somebody else. This is all about the strategy and the makeup of your roster.
I guess, you know, I mean, look, I'm not saying I don't like Kershaw anymore. I'm just saying he's frustrating. He's a little frustrating.
But is there not a value to taking a guy's known 20 top-shelf starts?
He's not at all like Billy Hamilton and D. Gordon in that respect. Okay.
But I think that's why the debate is so compelling, is that guys who give you this over 20 instead of 30-plus starts, the fact that you can fill in those with another 12 or 15 from maybe a third or fourth tier guy, I mean, there's a value to that.
Buster Posey's done. Surgery is scheduled, I think, for today. Any thoughts on Buster Posey here? They're saying 6 months. That's significant. Where do you think you'll rank him next year among catchers? I think...
Yeah, I mean, I can make the case that he's still going to be number one there, but I've...
How can you make that case? How can you possibly take Buster Posey over JT Realmuto? next season.
Because DJ Realmuto is also not a guy who gives you elite numbers in any one regard. I like Realmuto better, and I consider him a safer player. And if he's still in Miami, for example, which I don't think he will be, he's going to play a heck of a lot. That's a big advantage. But is Realmuto all that special? I mean, you're still not going to rank him in your top 100, and I don't want to either.
I don't want to have any catcher in my top 100, but the point is that Posey poses great risk.
Yes.
He's older. He's played a long time, a lot of miles on those tires.
Yep.
I mean, Realmuto's hitting .280 with 16 homers and 62 RBI. That's nothing special.
Right.
But he's the number one catcher, and the rest of the top five is Wilson Ramos, Yadier Molina, Grandal, and Gattis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, Gary Sanchez or Realmuto or Posey are in my top 100 next year.
And Gattis is out as a catcher next year, so that's...
Well, that's a problem, too. Anyway.
Yeah. Where am I putting him? I'd say he's probably going to be... I'd throw three right now. Three among catchers.
Yeah, I
think he's going to be like... For our game, one catcher, I think he's 12th, 13th round.
What else happened this weekend? Nate Eovaldi. What happened to him? First two Boston starts, 15 innings, 7 hits, no earned runs. Last four starts, 17 innings, 35 hits, and 14 earned.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, hitters figuring him out? Is he hurt? What is this? Because he looked good for Tampa, too.
He got traded away from the Rays. This always happens.
That's all it is, really?
Look at Archer.
Archer's just
bad now.
Come on,
wow.
He's just bad now. All right, look, what are you doing? Like, Eovaldi, you're dropping. If Eovaldi pitching like this, you're cutting. But every Chris Archer owner doesn't want to cut him. They want to keep him. They're like, sure. Ooh, every year he's good. He was a top 20 starting pitcher. Tristan says he's great. What, like, he's not great anymore.
No. We're not going there. I've not been the pro Archer guy this year, and not at all. Not all year. We had this debate a few months ago.
Like, he doesn't look good at all. He's giving up a lot of hits. It's almost like he's trying to strike everybody out. He doesn't go deep into any game.
So Eovaldi, the one thing I am noticing that has changed, to Leo's point, is that he's going really heavy cutter in Boston. That was not something he was doing in Tampa. There's a distinct change in his usage, and when a pitcher does that, I wonder, is it strategy with the team, and maybe it's an erroneous one? Okay. The other is he favoring a certain pitch for an unknown reason?
Weird top 10 for the past week. Morales is number one easily. Javier Baez, we know he's great. Ramon Laureano of Oakland is the number three player over the past week.
Oakland Magic.
How has this happened? He had
Oakland Magic.
Three home runs and one steal. Oh, that's odd. Marwin Gonzalez, who's turned around his season, just like Kramer Morales has. Blake Snell, Mike Fiers, who's been great all year, really.
Oakland Magic.
We've been saying all year. Luke Voit.
Luke Voit.
What do you do with Luke Voit, Tristan? Is he going to start playing against righties?
No.
Consistently?
No.
Greg Bird's been pretty bad.
Yes, I understand, and very fair. The matchups are, kind of stacked in Voit's favor now because there are going to be enough left-handed pitchers coming into this week's set that Voit could see maybe three starts, perhaps getting pinch-hitting opportunities in the rest of the games for the Yankees this week. It's a very favorable overall schedule. But I can't get beyond the idea that he's on the roster as the lefty masher, and that's it.
What was I going to say? Sean Manaea is on the DL. So yep. I cut Trevor I have a team with Bauer and Manaea, and it's a weird league. This is the office league where I fell 10 points behind you after being tied, and then I got it all back. It seems like it's all power. But I cut Bauer, which I probably shouldn't be telling you and Leo because you could go pick them up. But, I mean, if he's out 4 weeks, if he's out until mid-September, then you're not going to be adding him.
Right. I can't. I got enough DL. I got the two Red Sox DL pitchers, Eduardo Rodriguez and Chris Sale. I mean, how can I?
Yeah,
I'd have a whole DL bench.
I picked up that Rays middle reliever with 12 wins, whose name escapes me, but you know who I'm
Yarbrough?
Talking about. Yes, Yarbrough.
I like him.
So, what are you doing with Manaea? Because this is a shoulder impingement. Maybe he's back in a week. Maybe he doesn't come back at all. But Oakland's trying to win, mm-hmm. and one would think he's coming back pretty soon. You stay with him?
I want to. I am concerned about this because it comes at a pretty inopportune time for the A's, which with the Chris Sale thing, it's a point worth discussing. I think that the prospect of setbacks has me thinking that they're going to be better players to use up your DL spot in the ESPN leagues. I want to be optimistic about Manaea, though.
Right.
How can you be?
I can't be. But I kept them rostered. Let's get to... Oh, look at these combo meals. Many combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal! Home run plus steal!
Oh, so many compliments. Amazing. Like last year, there were none. Now we've got Javier Baez, Scott Kingery, love him, Willie Adames, Andrew McCutcheon, Adam Eaton, Manny Pena, and Jason Kipnis. That's seven compliments in the last
I want to hear about your love for Scott Kingery here.
Well, I don't love him this year.
You just said you love him. No, well,
I still think the future is bright. My mother keeps arguing with me why they give him so much money. He's going to be good.
It's not that much money.
It really isn't. That's what I've been trying to explain to her, that like $4 million for a Major League Baseball player over 6 years is kind of a bargain if you think he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Do you think Kingery's going to be good? Right now, he's going to end up with double digits in homers and steals. Now, his plate discipline's awful. He can't recognize the off-speed stuff. But, you know, he's still young. What do you think of Kingery next season? Does he take a step up? Say I told you he's the starting shortstop, okay? I think that's going to happen.
Wow, you don't think Manny Machado's the starting shortstop?
No. I think they get Harper. I think they get Harper and they sell off Nick Williams. But what do you think Kingery is, like a later round sleeper who ends up with like 15-15 and batting .260? Or is he just Dansby Swanson? I mean, what do you think he is?
He threw the Dansby Swanson comp, which came into my mind as the
worry. Dansby Swanson looks like he's not going to be a great fantasy option. So, I mean, Kingery looks like Swanson with speed to me. But I think he could be better than that. He could be a Pedroia if he just learns how to, you know, lay off the bad pitches.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's – I don't know that it's fair to make a specific player comp for Scott Kingery. I don't think he's quite like any of those names that we mentioned. I think he's better in terms of making contact that he's shown so far. I think he's got it in him to have better strike zone judgment, and I don't think he's going to be an elite walker. But this is the type of player I see sneaking his way to 20-20, and I could see it next year. I'm going to have to dive deep on the numbers on him and see what's up. And all I see is, as you mentioned, Eric, he's not doing well against any pitch except curveballs. That's the only one he has a positive run value against.
No, he looks overwhelmed against fastballs, off-speed pitches off the side of the plate. I mean, he looks overwhelmed.
He's chasing everything. His chase rate is 40%.
I don't know why.
That's not him.
No, it's not. I think he'll be better next year. But like you said, there's 2020 upside. Willie Adames could be a 2020 guy, too.
By the way, the other that strikes me at Kingery, and I forget who it is who I made this case for, when a player is moved off what they consider the natural position, the one they played for a while, I don't like what it does to distracting them adjusting to the majors. And I wonder whether that came up with Kingery.
Okay. I hope you're right. Any thoughts on anyone else here? McCutcheon, who's still a giant. Kipnis, who, I don't know, maybe he's a little resurgent here. Adam Eaton, you would think at some point, you know, he's never again going to be 100% healthy. Adam Eaton, I think. He's killing right-handers.
It's a shame, I know. And
what a good player he was, right?
Yeah, he was. Very underrated, too. Yeah. And
I mean, I hope. You know, because Adam Eaton can hit righties.
He can.
But he's basically become a platoon outfielder who can't play center field.
There's nothing that really just jumps off the page or anything. I mean, Adames, we mentioned him the other day, and I'm intrigued by what I've seen from him lately. Kipnis is maddening. I mean, I've had him in a couple of leagues, and he's maddening to have active. I finally got rid of him in the office league, actually, because I was just fed up with it.
All right. That's enough for the combo meals. Now, the relief pitchers, it's the closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Next Indian save. Who is it?
Let's see. They are facing a heavy righty team or a heavy lefty.
Doesn't matter.
How can they
keep going to Cody Allen? Been terrible this month. Terrible.
Because if it's... Well, actually, yeah. You know what? In fairness, Brad Hand is an excellent pitcher against right-handed
batters. Brad Hand is not a loogie. He can pitch against right-handers. Cody Allen's... it wasn't his last outing, but on Friday, two Kansas City Royals rookies hit, you know, no doubt home runs off him.
Yeah.
He just looked bad right now, Cody Allen.
I think it does make sense to go away from him for a couple of days and get him right, but I don't think we've seen the
this
end
Sunday.
Of Cody Allen's value.
I think Brad Hand gets the next save, and I think they lean on him more. I didn't drop Allen. I have Allen in a league. I have the two Ohio closers. They had a nice week between them. All I needed was like one save to win the week, and I didn't even get it.
That was the other one was the David Bodie homer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, he's in there to mash lefties, and what happens? He homers off Iglesias.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Mark Melanson looks like he got saved Saturday and Sunday. He replaced Will Smith on Saturday. Will Smith had a bad weekend. Who gets the most saves for the Giants down the stretch? I can't believe it. Not Will Smith, right?
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, when Hunter Strickland got activated, I wondered, could he work his way back in the mix? I still think it's Smith, but I don't really want a piece of that bullpen that much. It's got to still be Will Smith.
I think it is Will Smith.
But that's
it's not 100% now, because Melanson pitched on consecutive days. I don't know when last time that had happened, or if it even had happened this year.
The other is he was pitching three straight days, Will Smith was. I wonder a
little bit. I know that's why I didn't pitch Sunday, but I couldn't believe a Melanson pitched on consecutive days. And I'm going to look and make sure that he hadn't pitched on consecutive days, because that's what shocked me. Like, him is now, he's now going on consecutive.
Yeah, what, three
Melanson
straight?
Melanson went on three straight.
Yeah, he
How
did.
Is that even right? That's amazing to me. He hadn't pitched on consecutive days since early August.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it is Melanson now. What other situations?
Are you going to place an investment in Melanson, though?
No,
do you feel
I'm
safe
not.
There?
But I'm saying now I may not want to keep Will. If I have to drop Will Smith or Cody Allen right now, I don't know if it's. I don't think it's Cody Allen who I drop.
I don't either, and I hate to say I go with the better team.
Yeah.
But I kind of do.
And what about Will Smith versus, like, Sir Anthony Dominguez? That was a terrible loss.
Yeah.
Saturday. Now, he pitched on Sunday and blew them away, but there was no save on the line.
Right.
I think Pat Neshek is the closer.
I do, too. I've moved on from Sir Anthony. Love the guy, but as far as fantasy value for saves, yeah. I've moved on.
All right, let's take a look at the schedule now. Doesn't look like a ton of games here on this Monday, which is weird. Whatever. But we'll make do. Kendrys Morales against David Hess. Over under on home runs. I want to see him do it. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not a Blue Jays fan by any means, but, like, make history. I want to see history. There is a doubleheader on ESPN. How about that? The White Sox and the Yankees. Carlos Rodon, who's been pretty legit.
Yep.
And this is at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Against Masahiro Tanaka. Are you starting Rodon here? I'm starting Rodon here.
I will, yes. It's not one of the better matchups, but he's a yeah for me on each and every start right now.
I mean, I think he has to be active all the time now.
Yep.
That game ends, look at this, John Gray. John Snow on the mound against Odry Samar Despaigne, who has landed on the Angels, apparently. That's the night game. Colorado gets the extra hitter with the DH, so we would assume, I don't know, maybe it's Ryan McMahon. Maybe it's
I would imagine they actually DH Nolan Arenado for the past American League series, and then they threw Valleca and McMahon as a platoon in the field.
McMahon can play third base. Matt Holliday still only against lefties, but we'll see if that changes. I bet they just start playing him all the time. They don't even care about his splits. On ESPN Plus, you can see Brett Anderson of those Oakland Athletics. Oh, wow, Houston, what a series this is. Could be for first place. Garrett Cole
and Brett Anderson.
And what do you? I ripped Brett Anderson on a recent show, and then I went and added him in a league where I needed a two-star guy.
Hey, really?
Well, it seems silly, but he's just getting outs.
In defense of you here, he was not aligned for a two-start week, so things did change over the weekend.
Now he is, and now I added him. And Strasburg at Philly against Zach Eflin. So lots to watch here. Are you concerned about Strasburg?
Yes.
If you had to choose Strasburg or Brett Anderson today.
Strasburg.
Yeah, okay.
I said Oakland Magic twice. How many times am I going to get into the show? I mean, there's something there, and there's something there with Brett Anderson. But it's Houston, and you pointed out, Eric, his K-rate. I mean, in this matchup?
Bad K-rate.
No thanks.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't find anybody else.
I don't blame you for the two start, though. I don't.
Well, you know what? I'm playing a guy who has no relievers. Hmm? So, you know, I last week in this league, I used like four relievers. So I benched three of the four, and now I'm going with many starting pitchers with two starts as I can. I mean, it's about innings in that league now. I want wins. I want strikeouts. ERA and WHIP, you know, you never know anyway.
So in your league's context here, the forecaster says that he's going to be a below league average pitcher for the two matchups. It's at Houston hosting Seattle for the second one.
I can still sit him.
Well, it puts him in the top 70 just because of the volume factor. That's something important to keep in mind at this time of year, so I can make your case. And I'll also give you another grade for you since you mentioned Morales, the fun we have, a 9 grade against Hess.
It's pretty good.
Good ballpark for lefty power, too. So this is going to be a fun day.
On Tuesday, Morales will face undecided. And I hear undecided is not very good.
It might be Jeffrey Ramirez, but we'll see. I think it's going to be, somebody like that.
Check out ESPN Plus on Tuesday because Jose Urania might hit a couple Red Sox. Brian Johnson's on the mound for Boston. And, you know, I added him, too. So
Good move.
I added Brian Johnson and Brett Anderson. I don't have to play either. But I want to.
So Brian Johnson, you mentioned there, got very high grades. Now, the only concern is with Eduardo Rodriguez working his way back, there's the
second
slim
start.
Chance.
Yeah.
They bump him.
I saw that. Toronto, by the way, going with Thomas Pannone, a lefty of little achievement in the minors, but his first outing was seven innings of one-hit ball against those Orioles. So yep. Thomas Pannone seems like a decent pickup for this matchup, right? No, Trumbo.
Yeah, there was some, you know, under the radar buzz about Pannone as a prospect at the beginning of the year. Then he had the suspension. But the fact that it's a Baltimore matchup is good.
I think you have to use anybody against Baltimore now.
Yeah.
Wow, some good matchups on Tuesday. Scherzer, Nola, after pitching last week, that was like a 1-0 game. Mm-hmm. Or 2-0, Odubel homered off Scherzer. We've got Jake DeGrom against Cole Hamels.
Can't get a whole lot
better than that one either. Oh, and look at this. Francisco Liriano and Jacob Junis. Pretty good stuff.
Actually, they moved him, actually, yeah. They
Buchholz,
moved,
Clay Buchholz is facing Bumgarner. Clay Buchholz has pitched well. I mean, I don't want to give him any credit, but he's pitched well. You have to consider adding him in the league.
Yeah, that's another one who is falling into the two-start matchups at San Fran, at Dodgers. And I think we've got to take him seriously at this point. And I told you, I'm ready to jump off that bandwagon instantly. I mean, if he gets bombed here in that first game, he's getting cut for me.
Yeah.
Even locked in for the week.
I agree.
But start him.
I agree with that, too. And then Wednesday, David Price on ESPN Plus at 6:35. Seems like an odd time. Lots of day action on Wednesday and Thursday, so please, those of you in daily leagues, make sure that you get those lineups in. You do not want to lose your league title because you missed that on a day with somebody pitching.
And as a matter of fact, I believe we're approaching the final regular season weeks in the ESPN leagues. I think, is this the last one? Leo, we're in the last one, aren't we?
Then head-to-head playoffs.
1, 2, 3, 10. Yep, this will be the last week and then 4 weeks
Leo got called to do the football show, so he's not here anymore. Sorry. He had to leave.
That's above my
pay grade. Along with Kyle and the producers and everybody on Lippy, everybody else.
Well, let's
the
put
only
it this
ones
way.
Left.
If you have a 4 week playoff, and I hope you do because I love the 2 week playoff matchups, then yeah, you're looking at the final week. It's critical.
Today's Hash Browns are brought to you by SeatGeek. Football is back, if you didn't know. And SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you are searching for a last minute deal, planning a night out, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. And I just used SeatGeek a couple weeks ago for a baseball game, but you can use it for football or a concert or whatever you like. And best of all, listeners of the Fantasy Focus Baseball get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And I want to thank Leo and Anthony for sticking with the baseball podcast. I mean, I know it's, you know, fashionable and there's like 30 people working on the football one and we got four here. But I want to say thank you for sticking with us. Now, we listen to the football show. It's great. It's fantastic. They do an awesome job. You can watch it live, right, on Twitter. That's where it's live. Mm-hmm. I tend to listen to it later in the day. I don't need to see the guys. I know what they look like. But I listen to the show.
It'd be a little tough for us to watch during tape.
Yeah, because they do it at the same time we do our show.
Let me do that. Hold on right here.
Tristan, if you need to leave for 10 minutes to watch the beginning of the show, by all means, go and do that, and I'll just answer these questions.
Okay, cool. It's all yours. I'll be back, guys.
So thank you for being on the show today, Tristan, and take your turkey leg and goodbye. Wow, we have questions. Eric writes, not me, Eric Baker. How many at-bats do we get from Kendrys Morales this week? You know what? Just play him. I bet he starts two of the three games in Miami. He does not start the game against Wayne Chen. He's going to kill Baltimore pitching in the next 3 days. You want him active. But how many at-bats? I mean, how many do you have last?
The at-bats matters. The volume matters.
It does. But, like, look, there's no such thing as, like, a hot player, okay? Now, he's a hot player right now, but he could just as easily stop hitting home runs in this Baltimore series, even though I think he will. So the point here is it always depends on who else you've got, who else you're sitting. So,
see, I actually believe in hot hitters, but I think that the notion is grossly exaggerated.
I agree. The fact that he's homered in seven consecutive games does not mean he's going to homer today.
Correct.
But he's
the matchup is good for it, though. That's the
pretty
thing.
Darn good for
him. I mean, he couldn't ask for many. I mean, there are more favorable matchups, but not that many. This has got to be like an 80th, 90th percentile matchup.
So last week he had 23 at-bats. I'm going to say 19 over-under. I'm confident that if he keeps hitting well.
Are we going PAs or are we going at bats?
Well, I'm just looking at his player card, which has at bats.
Okay, that's
He'll
what
take
I
a walk
to
or two.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say 18 and a half at bats. Okay. So that's still a guy you want to have active. Like I said, I had Nelson
over.
Cruz last week, and he didn't even get close. I don't think he got that.
I'll take the over. Yeah. You mentioned the outfield possibility. I mean, imagine.
Well, Kendrys Morales played the outfield in Philadelphia a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
I think he played all three games,
didn't he? Yeah, all three games. He was with the Royals, right? Now,
I believe
can't believe
so, yes.
That's going to happen, Deke. But, I mean, maybe it does. Let me look this up. I remember that happening. Now,
I remember. I believe it was all three.
100
yeah.
years ago. But let me. No, it was 2016.
Year.
It wasn't last year.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
2016, he played five games in the outfield, in right field.
Yeah.
So it's possible they could have him and Smoke in the lineup at Miami.
Smoke has been, as you said, it's been
awful.
Playing so poor.
I dropped him in the office league. I don't know what's going to happen in that league. Basically, it comes down to whoever hits the most home runs and RBI in that league for you and me. I don't know if either of us can catch Davey. I think you can. I guess if you can, I can.
I would need. That save strategy I mentioned last week was a disaster.
And I kind of punted the saves, and now I'm about to get caught by Dave. But
my offense has been ice cold. That's one of the big problems. But
my closers got hurt. Remember when I had five or six closers? Now I'm down to one.
Yeah, but do you have points to gain on that? I thought you were locked in on saves.
I'm not locked in anymore. I'm going to get caught by Dave. I'm only one ahead of him. But like Morrow and Vizcaino and Rodney with the trade, I had like five closers, and now I'm down to just Iglesias.
And he's never going to catch Just Can't Wait to Be Kingery, who is 33.
Still your team name, huh? You don't even still have Kingery on the team, do you?
He's on my bench.
All right.
Well, yeah, so Just Wait, Can't Wait to Be Kingery is really thrilled with that trade he got a week ago. That's really blown up in my face.
But you guys made a trade?
Yeah.
With Kingery?
I made a trade with Kingery, yeah, last Monday. I mentioned it on the show I was changing
with
the strategy.
With my team, not for Kingery.
Oh, okay.
Not for Kingery.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what I meant.
That was the Patrick Corbin for Aroldis Chapman
because
I needed
that.
Saves.
Yeah.
And it's
now you still do.
I still need saves, yeah. Yeah, there's a close
situation. Any update on that?
We
didn't mention that. David Robertson and Jack Britton had saves over the weekend.
Yeah.
But it was against the Orioles. So
it's weeks, by the way. It's not 10 days. It's weeks.
It's weeks, yeah.
And I think it's Robertson, health willing.
Would you drop him in a 10-team?
Chapman?
If you need a spot?
I thought about dropping Chapman in this league.
You don't have to say his name over and over, okay? Would you... If it's mid-September and I just dropped Trevor Bauer, would you drop the Yankee lefty closer?
Because I was thinking about it in this context, yeah, I would. But that's the shallow leagues.
Would you have dropped Bauer?
In the shallow leagues, yes, I would have.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess one of you could pick him up and beat me with him.
Whatever the listeners need to understand the context that we have, it's six bench spots and there's no DL.
And how many teams are in the league? It's more than 10, isn't it?
13. But if you have guys on the DL, they are on your bench. They take a bench spot.
I just didn't have any room.
Right, exactly. Now, Bryant, Sale, and Erod are three of my six bench guys. So I can't.
I heard Chris Bryant's going on a rehab this week.
Yeah.
David Bodie's been really good, though.
Yep.
And they have Murphy now. So,
yep.
Could Bodie play some left? I guess Bryant could.
Bryant could play left, yep.
Wow. That's
They're going to mix
good,
and match.
Offense.
Yep.
Next question. This is Benjamin. Can you explain your confidence in these four as I prepare for the postseason? Robbie Ray at the Dodgers, Musgrove at St. Louis, Bieber versus Tampa Bay, and Jacob Junis versus Detroit. Junis goes last. Although Robbie Ray hasn't exactly been so good. I mean, every outing is like 5-5
and a third.
The best
matchup goes last.
It's
the best matchup, I will say that.
It is the best matchup, but Jake Junis is not somebody you can rely on. I mean, he's a little inconsistent, isn't he?
That is correct.
I mean, Dodgers don't exactly destroy lefties still, or are they now? I mean, this Yasiel Puig thing is unbelievable to me. They even mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday. Look at his numbers against lefties the past two seasons. He's unusable. He needs to be platooned against lefties, and he bats right-handed. It's unbelievable. He's terrible.
Yeah,
look, I have him on my sim team, and he's awful.
Total reverse guy, yeah, I know.
Total reverse hitter. Kills the righties, can't touch the lefties.
Huh. Very weird.
But let's rank these four then, because this is kind of interesting. Because I don't know if I want any of these guys number one.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of feeling
Musgrove,
the same way.
Ray, Bieber, Junis would be my order. What's your order?
Yeah, I dug up the forecaster once to go in the order that had it.
I mean, Bieber, man, he's just given up so many hits. Some of this is BABIP, and maybe that'll fix itself. He's getting strikeouts.
Bieber and Ray get positive grades. Musgrove, I mean, above average grades. I can't even find Musgrove.
So that's a bad.
No, it just I think I'm just scrolling.
You forgot
right past
him.
Where is he?
This guy's dead. Then cross him off the list.
Where is he?
What's
here?
That from? Let's ask Kyle what movie that is.
This guy here is dead.
Then
we'll
cross him off then. You know what
we're all heading to
Leo,
Miami.
You got that movie, right?
Of course. It's a classic.
Leo doesn't know.
Nope.
Leo
left.
No, I just.
Leo.
Major League.
It's not a thing.
I need hats for bats. Keep bats warm.
It still doesn't know.
Nope.
All right, so Musgrove's the worst graded by the forecaster.
Well, then don't listen to me.
It goes Bieber, Junis, Musgrove. But I am going with you. I'm going with you that it is Ray, Musgrove, Bieber, and Junis. Right?
See, your whole formula on forecaster includes history, and Robbie Ray is just not the same guy he was last year. He can't throw strikes.
It does downgrade him a bit for that, but not severely. You're right. It takes the greater track record of a more durable pitcher.
Dave writes, is there any giant that stands to gain value with Buster Posey done for the year?
Yep, there is.
Aramis Garcia.
Really?
You know who he is?
No.
You don't know who he is.
No.
He's the new backup catcher of Nick Hundley. Double-digit pop.
You like him, huh?
Nah, I don't have any idea. But he's going to play once in a while. Why am I getting fantasy hockey emails? You dropped out of that league. You dropped out of every league.
I think I do have that. Yeah, I do have that one.
No, didn't you drop out of that league?
No,
you hate
oh,
that.
Yeah,
you
I know the
you,
one.
I don't like hockey.
I like hockey.
I'm not inviting you to any leagues anymore.
That was like a super deep keeper league. I mean, how am I supposed to know like the seventh, you know, best goalie prospect?
You don't have to know the seventh goalie prospect.
Yes, you do.
It's fun to be in a hockey league or basketball league.
All right.
And by the way, I don't have enough football leagues. I need a fantasy football league. Nobody at the office wants to play with me.
I told you I'd make a league.
Tristan, you're the only one who will play with me.
I told you I'd make a league.
All the editors hate me. I want a league. Where
we've got a league right there.
Fun league, a free. I don't need to play for money anymore.
It's a two-team league. It's me and you, and we'll see who wins.
All right. First pick, Scott Kingery. All right. Who are the Giants that stand to gain value with Posey done for the year?
Nick Hundley.
Okay. Is Nick Hundley any good? You're going to call him a borderline top 10 catcher the rest of the year? Is he better than Danny Jansen, who, by the way, can hit?
Is everyone a borderline top 10 catcher right now? If you play catcher, aren't you a borderline top 10 catcher?
I think everyone's a borderline top 75 catcher.
I think Danny Jansen is going to be a top 10 catcher the rest of the year. Will Nick Hundley be more valuable than Danny Jansen?
No, he will not.
I agree with you.
But he will be a two-catcher relevant player. Top 25.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Speaking of the Giants, Ryan writes in, can Derek Holland keep this up and be a fantasy playoff hero? Just two earned runs allowed over his past 16 innings. Look, he had 2 5-inning outings last week with one earned run. Derek Holland is not going very deep into these games, so it's hard to win them. But he is pitching well, and he has been pitching well for a while now. I don't know who he's facing this week.
He's playing the Mets at home on Saturday.
All right, well, you can't get a whole lot better than that.
Actually, the Mets' offense has been a little bit better in recent days.
They had one game where they scored 20 runs.
And they had another where they scored 16 right before it.
Yeah, and the Nationals won 15-0 yesterday. They've been shut out in 3 games before that. So, like, what does that mean? The Nationals are hot now?
I'm with you that I do think it's – and he grades, you know, using, again, the ratings. He grades as a pretty decent matchup, not a great one. You know, the problem I have with him is that the minute we start trusting Derek Holland in fantasy, he lets you down. And let's see. After that, the matchups he would have going on every fifth game. At Brewers after that. Home Braves. At Padres. That's a good one. Home Padres, and then home Dodgers.
I think the pitchers from Benjamin's question are all ranked ahead of him. Bieber, Junis, Musgrove, go with those guys. I'm going to say no, he cannot be a fantasy playoff hero.
He might contend with Junis, but you're right, I'm with you on that.
I'm kind of disappointed in Junis. Remember how much I wanted him in one of my leagues, and I missed by one spot, and he really hasn't had a great year. Patrick writes...
I'm thinking of my Robert Gselman year now. It's like that.
Which one hitter or pitcher will make the greatest jump in your ranks when comparing your preseason 2019 top 200 to your preseason top 2018? Basically, who's going to make the greatest jump from this year's rankings to next year? And it shouldn't be that tough to figure this out. I mean, like, if you just look at the player rater, I mean, obviously, some of these guys are legit. Who moved up the most? I mean, Baez wasn't a top 100 pick on draft day, was he?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be him. He's going to jump.
Well, he's going to jump from basically outside our top 100 to, like, borderline top 10. He was 124 in ADP, and I think he's a pretty good second-round pick next year.
Yeah, if you scale up the value of the picks, he's probably the biggest mover. If not just raw number of spots.
If we talk about a guy who wasn't drafted at all who goes to round 8, that'd be different.
Right.
In terms of value
on draft day, I think he's probably the answer.
I'm trying to find somebody now who just came out of nowhere.
I agree with Leo on the point made that the value of 125 to 25 is much more important. But in terms of the number of spots, I think it's going to be like a guy who was either not ranked or 290.
So that jump specifically, and it might have even been a bigger jump, it reminds me a lot of Jonathan VR, and now I'm scared. I don't want to draft Javier.
Oh, Bias. They're not. Yeah.
No, don't do that. By the way, VR has been okay the last couple of weeks with Baltimore.
Sure has. Yeah.
He's taking the Tim Beckham approach.
The one
nice.
The one hesitation you should that everybody should be having with Baez is that he still has the same general plate discipline approach. He's gotten smarter about it, but this guy's not a walker, and he's still going to strike out a
There's
lot.
There's risk of him hitting batting 240 one year. There
right,
is.
Right.
But, I mean, Baez has to be that hitter. I'm looking for others that moved up a lot. I mean, Trevor Story, obviously, now we trust him again.
Eugenio Suarez?
Suarez was not a top 100 pick.
He was pretty well ranked.
He was not.
He was cut in our office.
ADP is 175, Tristan. He's going to go in round 4 next year.
He was cut in our office league in week 1, and I picked him up.
Wow, who cut him? Jeez.
ADP 175. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know that I can get him.
Albies was
round.
His ADP was his 15th round. He's going to be 3rd round next
Does
year.
Does Miles Michaelis make a big jump?
Still not a ton of strikeouts, but yes, I mean,
I got mine.
You got yours.
I'm looking at my top 300 from the beginning of the year. I'm going backwards from the bottom. At 283 was Jack Flaherty.
I think Jack Flaherty has a shot to be a top 20 starting pitcher in rankings.
Yeah, that could be a candidate, yeah.
Like, if you told me Jack Flaherty versus, like, Carlos Carrasco, I would think about it. Or Patrick Corbin now.
Corbin, 266.
That's another one. But, like, doesn't Jack Flaherty look like a star to you?
Like I do think he looks like a star. That slider is legit. Yep.
I mean, I'm not totally buying into Fulton Nevich. And maybe not Michaelis to that degree. But, like, I don't think Fulton Nevich and Michaelis will be in my top 30 starting pitchers. That seems a little aggressive.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, well.
Trying to see if there's any others that come up. All right.
So I know Rockies. Man, Tyler Anderson did some damage yesterday, didn't he? I mean,
he's been bad lately.
Something's happened to him. It's almost like that has to be some kind of an injury. And it's not going to be a closer. We're not telling you any closers. I mean, Jack Flaherty is the number 37 pitcher for the season on the player radar, and he doesn't have that many innings.
Yeah, I mean, like, in theory, Josh Hader enters this conversation because...
Well said. Yep.
I'm not. You're going to still rank closers in your top 100. I don't want to. Like, I don't want to rank Kenley Jansen in my top 100.
The responsible thing for anybody drafting next year or ranking next year is that we are going to have to analyze what we think of the closer position, because I still maintain it has fallen off the table in the lower tiers.
I mean, Edwin Diaz, man, he's going to save 65 games this year.
Right.
He's going to go in the 4th round of some drafts.
Yeah.
Are you going to rank Diaz over Kimbrel and Jansen?
I don't think so, but I might.
I mean, he could just easily next year have 39 saves instead of 65.
I agree with you that in principle I can't spend the 4th round pick on them, but I think it is still going to be very important to invest in one of those players because of how bad those middle tiers are.
I will say this, the closer spot this year, and teams now not trusting one guy,
exactly.
That does change even my theory.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and I'm still not going to draft Kimbrel or Jansen or, the Yankee guy, but I'm going to take somebody who's like a 15 in the 15 range, try to find the next Blake Treinen.
I mean, to be fair, it's one thing to say you want to go out and get a closer you can trust, but when Edwin Diaz, Wade Davis, Blake Treinen, Brad Hand, and Brad Boxberger are among the top closers, like, that makes it increasingly tough to know that you're finding the right one. It's very much like you wait on quarterback because you know you can find one.
Right.
You used to wait on closer because you knew you could
you
find
knew
one.
You could find one,
but
it's not
now
so
you
now.
Can't.
Yep.
I feel like next year I'll be drafting Brad Boxberger. He will not be anyone's top 10 closer. Gives up a lot of stuff.
I think he'll be top 15 next year.
I think around that.
I think he's going to get ranked
Him and
as
Shane
top
Green,
guy.
You know, seem like guys that you can get after, but they seem like safe closers. All right, we're done. The music stopped. Anything else we have to get to? Today's National Just Because Day. So we're finishing this show just because it's time to finish.
I'm having a cookie after the show just because.
Well, I'm having a third of mine. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday for the last show of August. But we do have a September, two weeks. And don't forget, fantasy football, it's big. Today's the last mock draft Monday. The season starts in like 10 days. Don't wait. Get your leagues together. All right? Get your buddies, guys, your gals, family members.
When's our draft? Me versus
no
you.
No one wants to draft with me.
It's a two-team draft.
You want to do a two-team
really
league.
Fast.
Just you and me. Yeah. A two-team NL East. NFC East draft.
That's a good idea. Why don't
just
we?
Just you and me.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to our little show, and have an awesome week. Everything is
awesome. Darkness. The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.